Gee, and welcome to the Royal Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Olson, also known as T-Roll, and tonight I'm joined by my very good friends. First of all, we have Justin Sandoval, a.k.a. Sandy, and we also have Anthony Amato, who we like to call Shimato. Sorry, boys, got a little cough here. Allergies are just crazy.
Man, yeah. Everywhere.
Pollen. We are in the South here in the United States, and the pollen is brutal.
Brutal. We got that southern snow.
Basically, yeah. That's right, miserable. Man. Yeah.
It's awful. But aside from that and the allergies, how you guys doing?
Honestly, it's just the allergies for me. But yeah, overall, good.
Everything. Everything else is good.
Everything else is real good, man.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Shimato?
Yeah, doing well. You know, heading into my spring break, so that'll be nice.
Nice.
Look at you go. Week
off. Shimato's going to be up all night, every night this upcoming week. That's great.
Yeah. I wish that was true. But yeah.
Nope.
Well, let's see. What are we doing tonight? Oh, yeah, X-Men. Sorry, guys. A little tired.
This guy right here. You're always tired on the podcast.
I know, but this week's much more. Why am I tired? Oh, yeah, because we stayed up late last night to review or to watch a movie, which we'll be reviewing later.
Yep.
So the Godzilla Kong New Empire. Whatever, some sort of empire. It's whatever. New, though. We're going to have an episode review of that as well, so check that out on the feed. But right now, we are going to get into X-Men 97, episode number 3, which is called Fire Made Flesh. Pretty cool title.
Yes, very cool.
Which
it kind of... Threw me in a different direction when I read
the title.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the awakening of the new character who like the teenager with Jubilee. I forget his name. Roberto.
Roberto DaCosta. I was kind of leaning towards like it would be something with Jean Grey, but specifically like a reach back to like her Dark Phoenix phase.
Yeah,
you know?
Interesting. Okay,
which they had like a small reference, one or two.
They did.
Yeah they did.
But it was It threw me for a loop, just not the title necessarily, just the episode in general.
Yeah, your X-Men lore is not as deep.
Yeah, well, we should probably, before we get crazy, let's just, spoiler warning. Here is your spoiler warning for our review of episode 3. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful you are here. Please continue to tune in, subscribe to the podcast, wherever you listen. Helps us out a lot. And share this podcast with your friends, okay? So, you've been warned. Spoilers. Episode 3... of X-Men 97. Right away we knew there was... I thought maybe it was like multiversal after last week when the other Jean shows up. But no, it's just a straight-up clone.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which, actually, the one that showed up is the real Jean Grey.
Correct,
yes.
Yeah.
Which we learned kind of early in the episode.
You learned it, within like the first 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But it's funny because like I have some X-Men lore from the comic books, and as soon as she said or Beast said it, the real Jean Grey, and this one's like alluding to a clone being a copy.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute, are they really gonna do the Madeline Pryor storyline here? And and then the rest of the episode continued to proceed as that, and I was like, this is kind of cool, man. I didn't think this was gonna make it in any iteration of the X-Men storyline, and but it was fun to see.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because you're thinking about the real Jean Grey. Like, what does that actually mean?
Right.
Like, and they really dive into like, okay, so at what point was it like, hey, when were they swapped? You know, when is this?
Yeah.
It has
we
to be at least.
Never find out.
Never find out. That's right.
And it's like, what? It could be. You know, at least 9 months. At least 9 months. You know that for sure, which makes it weird. Which makes it weirder because it's almost it's like, yes, Jean Grey, like the real Jean Grey is like, you think, okay, I should side with them. But also you're like, the one who has, you know, gives birth to Nathan, that adds like this weird like dynamic to like that one feels like it should be more real because she has such a stronger connection to Cyclops in a much more intimate way, you know?
Correct, yeah.
So
big time.
It creates this like issue where it seems like they both are almost on like, you know, equal ground of like they both deserve the right to exist and be the quote unquote real Jean Grey.
Will the real Jean Grey please stand up?
I mean, honestly, that felt like the whole episode, that theme, because they were trying to, they were battling memories. Like, they were really like,
yeah,
which memory is mine? Which memory is yours? I remember fragments of everything, like that kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was very interesting. And then, like, I mean, we're bouncing around a little bit.
Let's do it. Let's bounce.
But I think one of the best things that happened in the episode was Wolverine. And like, he was like,
oh, you mean when he doesn't suit up?
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, no, yeah, he doesn't fight, but I think something more intriguing happens, like, because him, Cyclops, and Jean have this, like, weird thing going on, and as soon as there's, like, two Jean Greys, Wolverine's like, I'm going to go check
maybe
out.
Maybe I can get one.
Yeah, I'm going to go check out Jean, and then, like, he's like,
this is his chance.
Got a redhead to check in.
He's, like, basically like, hey, Scott, there's a Jean for you, and there's a Jean for me, that kind of thing. He kind of, like, that moment he has where he's trying to help her, like, manage her powers, and he's like, read my mind, like, look at me, like, focus on my mind, and then she has that moment of, like, this is, like, well, almost towards the end. I'm sorry for bouncing all the way there, but it was, like, so powerful. And she was like, you felt this way about me? And he's like, more. Like, I feel more for you. Like, that kind of thing. And then she's automatically drawn to, like, Scott because of some he's battling in the house. But yeah, I thought that was just, like, so powerful. Like, the emotions that I could feel coming from Wolverine, which – coming from Wolverine, like, you're like, holy crap. Like, this is a great perspective on the character. Like, it's really good.
Yeah, it was really interesting because it's kind of like this opportunity for him because he's this, I don't know, he's this character who you can tell he has, like, these really deep feelings for Jean Grey, like, through the entire time. But there's always this wall up. And this is the one, like, real chance she's had a chance to, like, dip behind it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's given the opportunity to be... to be vulnerable, to allow himself to show her these feelings, which, you know, with the way that Wolverine is as a character, like, he's very emotionally stunted, so, like, he can't get that stuff out there, like, on his own, so he has to, you know, she has to dive in there herself.
That's great.
She literally needs to read his mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess, rewinding now to, when we get the reveal that she is a clone and Mr. Sinister,
one flash was like, that was so awesome.
Yeah,
it was just like a second that he was on the screen. The very first time was like, that's amazing.
Pretty sick. Pretty sick. The animation has been killer this whole entire series so far. And but the fact that he's communicating through the baby monitor originally, and she's like talking back and forth, and she's like, "You can't have my son, that son." But then he's like, "You have no choice. You're mine." And then activates the crystal.
Every cell in you belongs to me.
Yeah. Which T-Rule, you probably don't know anything about Mr. Sinister, right?
Talking about Mephisto.
He kind of feels that way, a little bit, but it's different.
For sure.
Basically, his main thing is he's collected DNA from multiple hundreds of thousands of mutants and stuff, and he's always trying to find...
So he's Nick Fury.
Except he has, like, a skill of being able to fuse them in perfect combinations and create things. And
so he's that... So he's Amelia Clark's character who I can't even remember.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever her face is.
I genuinely don't remember.
Stop talking about Secret Invasion. We're out here with Secret Invasion. So anyway, but yeah, it was cool to see. And then she does...
Yeah, he's a scary looking fella,
he
man.
He is, yeah. Yes. He's terrifying.
And when the
essentially
house...
Essentially, matches his outside matches his inside. Yeah. And his namesake, Sinister.
Yeah.
When the... put a baby through that. Anyways, we'll get to that in a little bit.
We'll get there.
But hold on real quick. When the house turns into like a haunted house, when the mansion turns into...
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that him or is that Madeline Pryor?
That's Madeline.
That's Madeline?
Okay. Working...
The clone is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's essentially, like, it's Mr. Sinister working through Madeline's
Jean Grey's
powers.
Jean Doe.
Life model decoy.
Here we go. Yeah, life model...
LMD.
LMD. No, my gosh.
How many callbacks can I get?
Yeah, please.
In one pod.
Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah. We have a counter. No.
That would be great. We're too lazy to edit it.
Nope.
Just imagine it's there.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Jess, I interrupted you a couple minutes ago. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say we get the reveal that the clone, she throughout the episode, she goes by Jean, but then at the end, we get the reveal of her name is Madeline.
They literally did call her Jean Doe.
Yeah, they
which
did.
Was
they
pretty
did.
Funny.
Yeah.
But Madeline Pryor is also, like, they refers to herself as the Goblin Queen.
Yes.
Which, honestly, I never knew why. I didn't really explain it, but And you know, I don't remember reading it in the comic books.
You know anything about that, Shimano?
I don't know anything about why she refers to herself that way. I just know that's one of the names she kind of like is associated with.
But I will throw this out there, okay? this is a callback, Jordan. If you're listening, this is a callback. Last week we didn't mention that old X-Men back in the day, they illustrated Rogue a certain way, and she had certain features that were, very.
She had cakes, bro.
Yes, there you go. She had cakes, and they didn't do that this season so far. However, this episode, when Madeline transforms into her goblin outfit, they took the time to animate that a little bit more seductively.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
Yeah, the I heck? Know. I think made up for it, which
made up for it.
T-Roll, I wouldn't recommend searching it, but if you search, it's very comic accurate to the costume.
Yeah. I probably won't search, but that's good. That's good.
But but yes.
It's a cool way to like. I mean, it's an interesting way to make the character of Jean Grey in the sense of so like Jean Grey has this wide like back and forth with herself where she's super conservative. She's super like. Kind of like almost safe. Kind of plain safe when she's like real true Jean Grey, and so you make her less like
literally gray. Like
yes, she's literally gray. She's just kind of bland. If she was a spice, she'd be flour. Like she's like she's just like so. Oh, and then man. When you make her this character of Madeline Pryor when she becomes Dark Phoenix and things like that, they up those qualities to be a like a. I mean, you notice it, but it's sort of like it's a slight under the surface reference that she is being let loose, that she is not, you know, as uptight as she was as the character of Jean Grey. So it's a way to physically show you that her character, their personality traits are different, going to be definitely different.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. That's a great point. She basically kidnaps Nathan because Sinister's whole plan is that the DNA combination. Of Jean Grey and Cyclops sets him up for a creation of his own that could be unstoppable in the future. Yeah. And so he ends up using Madeline to steal Nathan, brings him back, which we all know that Nathan's going to end up being Cable. So this is like kind of like Destiny.
What's interesting is when they put Destiny, when he puts him in that little cylinder, like whatever those things
just
are called.
Tosses him in the vat.
Yeah, in the vat. Thank you. When he puts him in the vat, I'm like, oh, they're clearly, you know, this isn't gonna work. They're gonna show up just in time, and it's like no, they're a little late.
Yeah,
I mean, that was actually kind of different because normally it's like they always
save the day.
Feels like you always get the salvation comes like at the perfect time.
Yes,
and this time it did.
Yeah,
I want to point out the rescue team for a minute. Like it's a very interesting combination of X-Men teammates. We got Magneto leading the charge with Cyclops.
Yes.
Go
for it.
Why did he put his helmet on?
Magneto. He doesn't need it. Charles is the only person to.
But Jean could get in his mind.
He doesn't fear Jean as much as he fears Charles because their friendship was so close, and he knew.
But
every
she could control him, right?
I mean, if your will is not strong enough, and which his is very strong.
So I think it's partially he doesn't respect Jean Grey as much as he respected Charles Xavier.
Just pretty.
And
awesome.
I think it's partially
they
that.
Grew up together. Like it's.
No, I get that.
Yeah. And I think it's also secondly. Because he's still trying to assert the fact that he is fighting for good, and that would be seen. His helmet was like very much like the representation of him closing himself off from the X-Men, closing himself off, and he very dramatically was out about like, hey, I'm not wearing my helmet.
Yeah.
Like right now, like this is me. Like this is who I actually am. So that I think that was very. It was. He's still trying to like prove that he is like the dude, and that he's not trying to be the villain that he previously was.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Well, keep going. Bomb Squad.
And then you get Morph's in there as well. He said, "I'll lead the way." Like he is traumatized because he's kind of a result of what Mr. Sinister does. That's why Morph kind of. Has the abilities that he has, so yeah, it was just very interesting. And,
interesting,
The pairing because you would expect the X-Men team that was going to go in would be like the standard, right? They would be like Cyclops, Beast, Wolverine, Gambit, yeah. Rogue. No. Rogue, your heavy hitter, is not there. Rogue is back at the compound doing, I forget what she was doing.
She was helping
figure out the bracelet, right? Is what she was doing?
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah, with Beast, yeah. Yep. Which makes sense. And then Bishop was there, too, with trying to figure out how to get back to the
yes.
future.
Yes.
but yeah, so anyway, they end up saving the day. They can... A psychic Jean Grey, who's just gets done talking about that scene with Wolverine, mentally strolling down memory lane with Madeline, and it is the birth of Nathan that ends up showing her that you are more than what Sinister has created you to be, and breaks the hold on him.
Yes.
And I thought that whole trip down memory lane was it showed a lot, because you see Jean's childhood, which... I mean, the Jean childhood scenes from the Bryan Singer series, like, I don't really remember that much. I know there was, like, little flashes.
Yeah.
But this, like, her powers manifesting because of her friend was killed.
Yes.
That kind of thing, right? That was a memory that they pointed out, in which Madeline was like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, that is nothing, right? But then when they come to Nathan's birth, she's like, yeah, he was a part of me. Like, this is us. Like, this is our thing. Like,
yeah.
Scott. And our love for him. And then that broke the seal, and then Madeline and Scott go to rescue Nathan. So
yeah
I thought that whole flashback / memory scene was really, really intriguing.
Yeah, I think it was very intriguing, but it was also like, it was both sides. Like, it was bringing Madeline back to reality, but it was also like showing that Jean Grey was, it was showing her regaining her assertion as her being Jean Grey as well.
Yeah.
Because when she came back, she didn't have all those memories. And yes, she had seen, like, oh, I remember everything. Like, we got that. But this was, like, you seeing that she was all the way back, you know? And her, like I said, taking back her place as Jean Grey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But my question, where has she been? Like, where has the real Jean Grey been? She just, like, shows up.
Yeah, for at least 9 months.
It's like, yes.
I mean, yeah.
I guess just contained.
We actually don't know when the swap
in that
happened.
Laboratory?
So,
I mean, yeah. The only thing that you could be is like, hey, it has to have been like after she was like 20 or something.
And at
like
one
that.
Point,
that's really all you know.
At some point, they're both there together. We saw that shot too.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're on a table, right?
So, when he cloned her, how long did he need her in his laboratory?
Correct. Yeah, you're right. Yep. Good point. Good point. Yeah,
I don't know.
To be able to clone somebody, like who?
Yeah,
who
like so, like for example, like.
Was go on like a weekend trip?
Like, was this something like, was it, well, she was the Dark Phoenix maybe? Like, in like, she was kind of like, aw, because she kind of like.
The way that's set up is it literally could have been at any time.
It could have been
timeline.
At any point, but like, I'm trying to think of like what you were trying to get at is like, at some point, people would have been like, hey, where's Jean?
Where's Jean?
Yeah. Like, you know, like, they would have been
like. Scott especially.
Yes,
right?
Scott especially.
Well,
of course.
Actually, Wolverine especially. Like,
yes.
He's
true.
Very protective. So.
Yes. So, and he would have been like, and he probably would have sniffed something out. But like, anyway, like, but you know, was it like what she was like off kind of being a little bit Dark Phoenix-y, and she was like kind of. Being over, like, removing herself from the X-Men, and that kind of explains her absence, and so that's why they have, you know, he captures her, he does something to her. Although it's also hard to believe that her being the Dark Phoenix would be the time that would be, like, the great time to take her, because that's when she's at essentially her most dangerous.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I think we got a plot here, guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah. But when she was taken, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, like
I mean, who knows how long?
I think it's supposed to be. You're supposed to feel like, when was it? Like that kind of thing. Like, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily the plot hole. I think it's supposed to be just like left up for interpretation. That kind of thing.
It really is.
It kind of gives both characters like legitimacy.
Yeah, because of the ambiguity, it creates a situation where like every moment that they had from like in adulthood, you're like, well, is this one or was it this one? So it makes it to where it's like, which one is real?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
both of them could be, you know, it creates that situation. Whereas if it was definitive, it's like, okay, so everything before this was real Jean Grey. Everything after this was, you know, Madeline.
Yeah. Maddie. So they end up rescuing Nathan.
Yeah.
But,
poor Nathan, man.
But Mr. Sinister was like, doesn't matter. Damage has been done.
Yep.
That kind of thing, right? Like,
always have an ace in the hole.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he gets a, what do they call it? Like a nanovirus or something like that, right?
I believe.
I call it a technovirus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
You're right.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, it's, I don't know what it means either, but Beast was like, it's growing rapidly. We don't have
Swedish party music to save him or something.
We're going to a rave.
Yeah. He needs a rave.
But Beast is like, we don't have the capabilities here to do it. And they're like, Bishop, you're.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
Can the future save him? Which, I mean, it sets up Cable storyline. Like, yes. 100%.
Right. And he's only got, he only had enough juice in his.
For him and a baby.
With his PIM particles.
Gosh, here we go.
There you go, another counter.
Here we go. You keep track of your own counter.
I'm at like four. But what an interesting... Bishop's cool, by the way.
Bishop is
early
really cool.
In the episode where he tells Cyclops, he says, hit me. Yeah. And he absorbs all that power.
Yes. Yep.
Once again, you get to see like great moments of like team-ups. Like, that's one thing I've really loved and it's like so far. And they battled. Like, it's usually just, like, these one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, you see they're all battling at the same time, but it's like, oh, it's this person versus this person, this person versus this person.
Yeah,
whereas
no, man. Let's
everyone's, like,
shake
working
it
together.
Bit,
it actually feels like, you know, a team, you know, whereas a lot of times other superhero battles feel like it's a conglomeration of people fighting, you know,
right,
rather than a team.
For one cause, whereas the X-Men, they're fighting for a cause, but they want to do it together. Like,
yes.
That's their main, like, mindset is, like, you're with me, I'm with you, let's solve this thing together, that kind of thing. Which I think if the MCU can knock that mentality out in the live-action version, I think we're going to be up for a good time because... Well, the MCU has been, obviously, one-on-ones has been the main basis of it. We've seen a few tag team, double teams, whether it's Hawkeye and Scarlet, Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow. I mean, I don't know. I'm just... They got to execute that teamwork aspect of it in live action for it to be successful.
Yeah, and I think it'd be also a really cool, like, different feel to give it, you know, rather than, you know, it would be very distinctive to see the X-Men fighting that way.
Oh, so you mean like Deadpool and Wolverine, like the movie we're literally getting, like a movie literally about teamwork? I think
I don't know.
Maybe teamwork?
I don't know how much teamwork there will actually be.
You see the
be.
Poster? Last night we were in the movie theater, there's a poster of like the hearts.
Best friends.
Yeah.
That's great. But do you think we'll get a Deadpool in this animated 97?
Oh, man, that'd be pretty
voiced
sick.
Voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
No, not Ryan Reynolds.
It would be super cool if it was Ryan Reynolds, but I don't think so. I feel like...
It would like take over.
Yeah, I feel like they have their own story and like they have to have their own thing.
Yeah,
it'd be fun though. It would be fun. I'd love to hear that.
Hey, it's time for that every the part of the show we like every week where we acknowledge my dog playing with a squeaky toy in the background.
Yep.
If you can't hear it, I'm surprised, but she has this uncanny ability to just only play with these toys when we're recording.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
I think she's trying to say she needs a microphone.
Oh, let's hook her up.
Let's
go.
Yep.
That's my dog, guys.
There she is. That's her.
I mean, if they really wanted to, it would be really cool. Like, the finals, like, an end credit was, like, somehow moving from animation to, like, live action. Even if, like...
Like Wolverine, and then he's laying on a bed, and he wakes up, and he's Hugh Jackman.
maybe you see, like, Wolverine...
That's funny. That's
like,
a funny idea.
Wolverine, like, sitting on, like, a bed or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
looking at a picture, maybe? Or
maybe not. Well, that would be cool. But like you literally see all of a sudden you see swords like cut through like a wall, and it's
Deadpool,
live action Deadpool. Deadpool, and he pulls Wolverine in, and it switches from animated.
He's like, get over the stupid picture, you know? He just says, some nonsense.
What are you looking at there?
Yeah.
That'd
be good.
All right. Well, the episode basically it ends with Madeline and Jean like coming to a realization that they're both their own person now.
Yeah.
And Madeline's gonna go live her life. Jean's gonna live her life, and that's it.
I will say I don't watch many of these like animated series anymore.
Yeah.
But it reminds me like, man, they just fly through. Like some of these things are just like so fast paced.
They are.
So you know,
but they're able to kind of like. The things they can do with animation kind of helps move the story along.
It's good. I'm not. That's just my one.
Like you
critical.
Couldn't do.
I had
you
to be critical
do,
of something. Okay?
Yeah. You're right. But you couldn't do a flashback scene like that, like I talked about earlier, with them while going down memory lane.
Yeah.
In a live action, like it'd be really hard to do. Like,
hard. You mean you're talking about Madame Web?
They attempted it.
They literally attempted it. It was hot garbage.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. But okay. But the final scene of the show is Storm in
Oh, yes.
Texas.
At a yes. bar.
At a bar.
At a tequila bar.
Yeah. Hey. And we see somebody sit next to her tequila talking about sunrise? The weather, the weather, wishing they can get some rain, that kind of thing.
And, cheesy.
Yeah. And then she's like, who are you? Whatever. And he's like,
she's like straight to the point.
Yeah, exactly. He reveals that he's Forge, which in the comic books, Forge and Storm have a romantic relationship. But yep. Forge also has like cool abilities where he can like manipulate technology, and like he has a way of using technology to do things that nobody else can. That kind of
he
thing.
He definitely bought her a drink, don't you think?
Oh, for sure, absolutely. But it's cool to see, and I mean, this is one step closer to getting the Storm's powers back.
Yep.
Maybe he can invent something that that does that, but. Overall, I'm enjoying the series. I think that it is very solid, and the animation has been very on par. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the storylines have been great. We didn't even talk about the Gambit, Rogue, Magneto love triangle. Which
isn't even a triangle yet, because Rogue and Magneto have no idea that Gambit knows any of
correct.
This
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which I thought it was funny with Morph pointing out. He's like, "Oh yeah, Magneto and Rogue have the next 3 days planned out."
Yeah, he's just clicking through. It's like, oh,
and he just stared at him.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh man, that's rough. But yeah. Well, I'm sure I'm interested to see where that storyline goes. Yeah. And we need more Gambit in this episode and further episodes.
I love how Gambit speaks third person.
Oh yeah, it's great with an accent. Cajun accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
gotta love it. But yeah, great episode.
Good stuff. Okay, time to wrap it up. I'm tired. It was fun, boys. We will be back next week to review episode 4. So be sure to tune in to our review. Next week. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to say. I don't think so. Yeah. Go check out our other episodes, share this podcast with your friends, subscribe wherever you listen, and follow us on social media at Royal Geek Pod. With all that in mind, for my good friends Sandy and Shimato, this is T-Roll saying thank you so much for listening to the Royal Geek Podcast. We will see you next time, you peasants.